Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks that our only hope is in Christ and in Christ alone. Help us always to cling to him for our salvation, for your mercy, and for our forgiveness. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I am sure that you have heard the expression, talk is cheap. Anyone, absolutely anyone, can make a promise. It takes no investment of time, money, or effort to make a promise. But the saying, talk is cheap, highlights the massive gap between making promises and keeping promises, putting in the work to keep your promise and to deliver on it. In our gospel reading, the Lord Jesus demonstrates his authority. He makes claims about himself, but he also backs up his claims in unmistakable ways. So my first point is Christ's authority over sickness. Our passage begins with the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. Yes, Peter was married. The Apostle Paul speaks of Peter being married in 1 Corinthians 9:5, and here, Peter's mother-in-law. You can't have a mother-in-law unless you're married. I have to say that as a Protestant. Our Lord touches Peter's mother-in-law. He also teaches Peter's mother-in-law as she is healed instantly and gets up and begins to wait on him. Peter's mother-in-law starts to play the part of the hostess and exercise her gift of hospitality and helping her daughter serve Jesus and the guests. As the narrative moves on, Jesus heals not only Peter's mother-in-law, but many sick people come to him. And even the demon-possessed were brought to him, and he heals them all, both spiritually and physically. Matthew 8:16-17 says this, when evening came, he brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Matthew 8:17 is a quote from Isaiah 53:4, where in that chapter the prophet Isaiah speaks of the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, bearing our griefs and sorrows, which Matthew renders infirmities and diseases. The physical healings and the spiritual deliverance that Jesus did in Matthew 8:16 are fulfillment of Isaiah the prophet, that he in fact is the Messiah. Jesus came to bear the curse and guilt of our sin on the cross, and these healings were foreshadowing that great deliverance which he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. In our Lord's ministry, he has power to heal and overcome all the consequences of our sinful fallen existence, including our physical diseases and sicknesses. Yet our Lord has not promised to remove sickness, disease, and death before his second coming. But at his second coming, he will transform these lowly bodies, which have been subject to death, and transform them to his glorious body through the resurrection at the last day. Matthew's quotation of Isaiah 53 indicates that all of Christ's miracles point forward to his final redemption of fallen humanity and points forward to the day of our final redemption at the last day. As we have just confessed, Jesus shall return to come, shall come again to judge the quick and the dead. And in that day, we will have the fullness of resurrection life. It brings me to my second point, and that is Jesus calls for our unconditional loyalty. Matthew 8, verse 20, we hear these words. Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In Matthew 8, 20, Jesus claims to be the Son of Man, which is a title, again, for the Messiah. And this title at times emphasizes either Christ's deity or sometimes his humanity. In this context, the Son of Man is emphasizing his humanity, that though Jesus was the divine Son of God, yet as a human, he needed rest, and he had no place to lay his head. Through their many travels in his three-year ministry, he has no place to call his home. And there are two examples in this passage where two men express a desire to follow Jesus. The first one is mentioned as a scribe, a religious leader, who taught in the synagogue concerning the teaching of the Old Testament scriptures. And this saying of Jesus in verse 20 is preceded by this statement, "Then the scribe came to him and said, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.'" And Jesus reminds him that even animals have a place to call their home, yet the Son of Man does not have a place of his own. He has no place to lay down to sleep. The title Son of Man was a title that Jesus called himself on numerous occasions throughout the gospel accounts. This title was used by Jesus when he predicted his suffering, death, and resurrection, and his saving work for us. This title was used of the Messiah in Daniel 7, 13, and 14, of the Son of Man who will come to judge all humanity. And at our Lord's trial, he speaks of himself as the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, which again is a quote from Daniel 7. The members of the Sanhedrin understood what Jesus was talking about because when he said that, they tore their robes and accused him of blasphemy. But in this context, we have the irony of this one who is the Son of Man who will come to judge the living and the dead, who has no place to lay his head. The King of glory, the Messiah, the Son of God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, has no place to lay his head. And further, if you're willing to follow him, you may have no place to lay your head. The next person approaches Jesus in Matthew 8, 21 and 22. Another disciple said to him, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead." This man appears willing to follow Jesus, but first asks permission to go and bury his father. It's apparent that the father had not yet died yet, for burials happened on the same day that you died. And the burial would not have happened, this man would not be here if he was too busy burying his father. In this case, the man claimed to be a disciple of Christ and yet puts other obligations before his obligation to follow the Lord. Who knows whether this man's father would have died in 6 months, a year, or a couple of years? Our Lord is not putting away the duty to honor parents and attend to their needs, but he is teaching us to place the priority of God's kingdom as the highest priority. The one whom Christ has called is like one alive from the dead and is called to put off sin and put on righteousness. He no longer belongs to this age. And those who ignore this priority are spiritually dead. Having shown his followers his power to overcome sin and all its evil effects, he challenges us with the demands to follow him truly as Lord. That brings me to my third point, and that is Christ's authority over creation. We see our Lord's humanity in this passage, which is bare by the very fact that as Jesus entered a boat and his disciples were with him on that boat, and there's a raging storm, Jesus is deep into sleep. As a man who suffers from being a very light sleeper, I can't imagine. I heard it many years ago when it seemed like a train was coming through town, but it was actually an earthquake, a smaller earthquake. I don't need much to wake me up. But here Jesus is in such a deep sleep, and his disciples are frightened. And they came to him saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." The disciples are beside themselves with terror, and in their trauma cry out with desperation that he may save them before they all perish at sea. The Lord responds graciously to his frightened disciples in Matthew 8, 26 and 27 when he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" The Lord is master over his creation, and it is a sign that once he says to the wind, the waves, "Be still," immediately it becomes quiet. Because once the Lord of creation says, "Be quiet," it must be quiet, because, again, he is the God of all creation. Here we have cause and effect. Jesus speaks the word, and immediately the storm ceases. Only God has authority to do this. Thus, Jesus is showing his full deity, his full divine authority. The psalmist in Psalm 107, verses 23 through 30, gives this illustration of men who were at sea when suddenly a storm came up and their lives were in danger, and men staggered about like drunken men, because the boat was rocked by the waves. The psalmist then records these words in Psalm 107, 28 and 29. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed." The psalmist is speaking about the very incident that the disciples faced, and hundreds of years later, they saw it with their own eyes. He predicted not only the storm that the disciples faced, but how the Lord Jesus, delivered them from their distress. The Lord demonstrated his power and mercy by quieting the storm. And just like the disciples, at times we may feel like our lives are falling apart. We're in the storm of the sea, and there seems to be no deliverance. And we may ask of God, "Where are you? Do you not care that we are perishing?" Well, the passage concludes with the disciples' astonishment that the winds and the sea obey Christ at his word. While they knew in their hearts that Jesus is the Messiah, yet they were still stunned by such an awesome display of power, might, and mercy. May we entrust ourselves to Jesus, who is the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who is able to heal all our infirmities of soul and body, and yet who calls for our unconditional commitment and loyalty to him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Creator and Redeemer, you have power over all evil and over all of creation, so that even the evil spirits and the winds and the waves obey you, for they must, because you are Lord. Strengthen our faith to leave everything behind, to follow you in the way of suffering, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen.